I'm old school. You don't need technology. And you seldom get glitches. But you do often get coffee spills. I just want to say to Corey and the elders, thank you for allowing me this privilege to share the word of God with you this morning. And to bring you greetings from the saints in our town of Pietermaritzburg in South Africa, which is on the eastern border of South Africa. And I do want to say one thing. I thought when our son and daughter-in-law were coming to Canada, they were coming to people who were civilized and smart and really clever because they were able to live in such extreme weathers. We were in Fairview yesterday. And if any of you were in that area, it rained. But it didn't just rain. The heavens opened. And we played soccer with the kids. And anybody else would have said, cancel. But the Canadians said, we're having fun. I'm not sure. But I think often when you preach, this is kind of where you are, misty. Not sure quite what God is saying or what God wants to say. And it's quite nice being in a misty environment because you can imagine. And you know what's there, but you're not sure. And then the sun comes out. The sun comes out. And you see what's there, and you remember. That's what it is. And the journey of faith is like that. You know, Paul says we see through the glass darkly, but one day we will see face to face. So I hope this morning your clarity will come as I progress. And then the last one. Thanks, Sharman. This little nest is under the stairs of Murray and Unsie's porch. We saw four eggs in it. We saw four mouths in it. And then it was empty. And on Father's Day, I just felt it was a good image to have because a nest serves a purpose, but it's limited. While the eggs are in there and the babes are in there, it is the place of safety. It is the place of security. But it has a time span. And there comes that time when it must be empty. And I sense that that's what God wants us to understand this morning, as He is our Heavenly Father, is saying, I've given you a safe place. I've given you everything you need for life and sustenance, but don't stay there. That's not what it's about. You need to find your wings and be who you've been created to be. I'd like to ask all the fathers in our midst, please, to just come forward and join me up here. And if you're a great-grandfather, come and join us as well. And congregation, can I say, this is part of what the empty nest syndrome is about. God raises up men to be men of God, to be fathers, to be husbands, to be grandfathers, to be great-grandfathers. And this is a blessing to have so many men here this morning. And I say to each of you, congratulations for being the men of God that you are. Praise God. And I've asked Kathy to just pray for us as fathers. Thanks, Kathy.
Lots of them. It's lovely to see. It's lovely to see. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, Abba, it is a privilege this morning to bring these men, these faithful loyal men to you. You know, in my heart, I just wanted to bless them. And Corey's words have just filled that message in, that it's not bad or sad or wrong to ask you to bless people. And it's not wrong to ask you to bless us and to bless me as an individual and each of these men as individuals. And so, Father, Abba, we pray a real, strong, actually able to feel blessing on these men this morning.
Amen, Lord.
And the role of Father, as you know well, Lord, is not an easy one. And in the world that we live in today, it is such a conflicting one. These poor men are told to be warriors and told to be carers and told to be moms. And the world puts so much on them. But you know them. You know each one of these men's hearts. You give us lots of pictures in your word about fathers. And you yourself are, well, we can't describe you. You are the most amazing father.
Mm.
But these men are asked to do so much. And Lord, we want to bless them this morning, and you want to bless them. Yeah. Strengthen them in their inner men to be strong, to be gentle, to be caring yet firm. Make them brave enough to be changed and transformed by you. Many of us in our cultures have been told and taught from tiny that men must be men of their word. And that is true, Lord, but make them willing to listen to you and change their minds sometimes. The psalmist says that we want sons that are like well-nurtured plants in your palace, and daughters that are like pillars. And the world has turned that right around. So, Lord, I pray for each of these men, each of these fathers, that they will be changeable like plants, malleable like plants. Work in their hearts. And help each of them with their difficulties, their hurts, their betrayals. Let them know that they have a strong advocate in heaven.
Mm.
And you plead their case. Thank you for that. And we bring you today those fathers that have lost children, lost through death, lost through divorce, perhaps. Lost through rulings from a court. Bind up their broken hearts. I bring to you today these fathers or fathers that have served in the military in any form. Reconcile them to themselves and bind up their broken hearts. Give strength to the fathers of young children and the brand new father sitting in our midst today.
Mm-hmm.
Give them good, nurturing sleep so that they have the energy to play, to be a listening ear, to be a storyteller, to create a wonderful world for their children in you. As we've said, today roles are complex. Their roles are complex, but bless them richly. today may each father here be blessed by you, as I've said, and richly blessed by their families as well. And Lord, thank you that your grace, your love, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit can surround these men. Make it so real that it's like a touch on their shoulder, that you love them mightily and strongly and defiantly sometimes, Lord. In Jesus' name, we can pray with confidence. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Peter, do you want to just stay for a bit? Yeah, you come. No, Jen's going to pray for you. I've just asked Jen to pray for the young men in our midst who aren't yet fathers. Thank you, Jen. I think we can leave them where they are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Men who are not in that role yet of father. Mm. But Father, I pray you will keep them. Keep their hearts. Keep their spirits. Keep them pure before you, Lord God. And Father, just protect them. Mm. Yes, just protect their hearts. Mm. We just thank you for the honor, that privilege that we have to know you. And to have a very committed relationship to you, and that would be their example as they move on into their relationships, that they would recognize the need to be strong, to be the leader, to draw a line in the sand and say, I will not cross that. Mm. Give them the strength and the faith to stand there, even though many may want to pull them over. Mm. Thank you, Father, for your strength. Help them to lean on you, Lord, when it seems like there's no one else. Mm. But yes, we just hold them up and bless them as young men. Mm. They don't need all the wisdom yet, and yet they do need it. But that you'll guide them, that they can lean into who you are.
I decided to stick with the calendar and play it safe with Father's Day and not disrupt Corey's progression through Galatians. So it's another little detour as you go through Galatians. We felt very welcome in the time that we've been here in Manning, and particularly here as part of this fellowship. And one of the things I have enjoyed, perhaps selfishly so, is wherever we've gone, I haven't even opened my mouth and people have said, oh, Murray, this must be your dad. And then I open my mouth and they go, definitely with that accent. And I thought I was speaking really clearly. But the family likeness, it's there. And if we'd had daughters, I'm sure it would be reverse and Kathy would be being told, ah, this is obviously your mom. These are obviously your daughters. But that's the nature of Father's Day. That's what we celebrate, is likeness and family and progeny. Today there's a lot of pressure, as Kathy said, being put on families, on men, not to have children. To leave that and trust that somehow the world's going to come right. And I believe the statistics in America are proving alarming, with actual movements and organizations encouraging young men not to father children. Tell that to the woman. It's natural for a woman to want to be a mother. How's that going to be possible without the father at some stage? So God's order is the best. Amen? And as Kathy and I have sat with you Sunday by Sunday, God has been speaking to you as a fellowship, reminding you of who you are in Christ, that you're a totally different creation. As Corey mentioned, you're one thing here. The moment of salvation, you're transformed. You're complete in Christ. When your guest speaker, Jean, was here, she reminded us that we can change our environments by the words that we speak, by speaking of the victorious Jesus Christ. And I personally won't forget the words that she spoke when she related her experience with her own family. And she was experiencing a lot of tension in the family with one of the family. And when eventually the healing came, the Spirit said to her, "So you've been saying." I think, how often do we do that? We tell the story. We tell the story. We tell the story. And each time we tell the story of why things are wrong and things are difficult, we're giving more and more foundation and substance to that situation. And so she reminded us that we can be assured that in this life we will see the goodness of the Lord in our time. It's a promise. While we are alive, we will see His goodness. But let's speak it. And by doing that, we bring it in to being. And then Corey threw his thoughts on Hebrews, which I have been following, by the way, about the fact that we have so great a salvation that has been completely worked out for us. It's done. We simply need to say thank you and live it. And it's a bit of that I want us to look at this morning. However, I think we're probably a little bit like a congregation in South America. I don't know if any of you remember Juan Carlos Ortiz. We got to see him when he was in South Africa. A short South American man with an infectious smile. And he shared, "I preached the same sermon 9 Sundays in a row. My congregation dwindled. I wondered what was happening." And someone came to me and said, "Juan Carlos, when will you preach something different?" And I simply said to him, "When you start doing what I'm preaching." And folk, I think we're like that, aren't we? We are so ready to hear. We want new things. We want new insights, new truths, new precepts. And our lives are full of information. But Jesus himself said, "Blessed, now that you hear these things, blessed are you if you do them." Not if you hear them, if you do them. We're having a lovely interaction, particularly with Peter at the moment, with listening. And we know he listens. We know he hears. But there's a gap. And young dad, you've got to look forward to that. And may God give you grace as that gap gets filled. But I don't believe we're any different. As your leaders here share with you the truths of God, don't just let yourselves hear and listen. Become doers of the word. There is so much blessing that awaits you and I. So on this Father's Day, what is it I'd really like to share with you? Malachi 4, verses 4 to 6. And as this is up there, I want us to think of this as these are the final words of the Old Covenant. It was followed by 400 years of silence from God's perspective in terms of Scripture. Don't you find that significant? Remember the laws of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I've given to you on the Mount of Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. I'm mystified that that's how God would conclude the old covenant. An exhortation to us as fathers to have our hearts turned towards our children and children to have your hearts turned towards your fathers. And then silence. What does it mean, fathers, to turn your hearts to your children? What does it mean, children, to turn your heart to your father? As often is the case, it's probably easier if we look at what it's not. A heart turned away from a child would be a heart that ignores the child. A heart that is even taken up with itself, pursuing career, work, hobby, passion. It might be communication that is abusive, that is disapproving all the time, that is even destructive, full of put-downs, never living up to my standards and expectations. It may even be a heart that is guilty of sexual abuse, amongst other abuses. It may be a heart that's just disappointed. The child hasn't lived up to what you'd hoped. They've gone away and they're living their own life now. And your heart is turned away. You're unappreciative of who they are and what they've become. You don't agree with their life choices. There may be lots of feelings of resentment and even sadness. And what's it for the child's heart to be turned away from the father? Children today think it's smart. They think it's cool to be cocky, to be confident in the face of the adult and say, "Oh, really? And who told you that?" They can be independent before their time. And that's just so sad. Children of any age can forget how much their parents love them and care for them. And children who are the victims of abusive fathers struggle with all those emotions. And there is lots of anger and resentment. So what is Malachi really saying to us? It's the opposite of that. It's fathers, give time to your child. Regardless of their age, you are and will ever be their father. They have no one else that's in that place. Whether you like it or not, you stand alone as the father. Be that father. Pray for them. Because we live in an age where families are scattered. Bring them to the throne of grace. And as we've sung this morning, pray that they get to know Abba Father's love. Speak kindly to them. Speak gently with them. Give them quality time, not the dregs. And if any of you have been in that place where there has been abuse, ask for forgiveness. Seek restitution. And for the children, ask God to change your heart by giving you a respect for your parents. Appreciate the sacrifices that your fathers have made for you. And I know as dads, we often find it difficult to speak about that. And we just say, oh yeah, it's nothing. And I just say, fathers, sometimes when our children and our families say thank you, we need to say, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me because it actually wasn't easy. And you don't know the half of it. It's okay to let your children in and be exposed to the sacrifices that you've made. And children, be considerate and appreciative of your fathers. And just speaking with Jen before the service, making a move to Manning to be with Dad after a heart attack. And God's blessed another 17 years. That's appreciation. A willingness to move. Willingness to do things differently. And for any of us who may have experienced sexual abuse or physical abuse or verbal abuse from our fathers, seek professional help. Seek counsel from your leaders. God can heal and restore. Don't hold on and become embittered and twisted. These words end the old covenant. Turn to Revelation 22:21, please. The end of the new covenant. But before you do, what do you expect? If that's the end of the old covenant, kind of what do you expect to have at the end of the new covenant? I don't think I've ever been asked that question. You know, the end of the old covenant was an anticlimax in a way. This God of thunder and lightning, as Corey was describing some weeks back, and miracles and Red Sea parting and manna and quail and Elijah's going to come, and your hearts are going to be turned towards your children, and your hearts are going to be turned towards your father. End of the new covenant. Is it what you really expected? Come, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, where's it gone? Not there. Ah, there it is, yeah. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Could the message be any simpler, folk? How complex have we made it to follow Jesus Christ and to live for Him? As Corey's reminded us, we have sets of rules. We have sets of principles. We have sets of doctrines. We have sets of practices. But the end of the new covenant simply states, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Forgive my voice, but there's a song. I am what I am by the grace of the Lord, and all that I ever shall be. For the grace that He gave was bestowed not in vain, for it won a lost sinner like me. I will labor for thee, that the world then may see that to Jesus I'll ever be true. For I am what I am by the grace of the Lord, and that's all that I ever shall be. That's the gospel. That's what it is to follow Jesus. To be men and women of God, people of grace, who've acknowledged it's the gift that God has given to us. And as Corey, you mentioned this morning, God has blessed us. He's given us gifts. And the greatest of those is Jesus and the grace of God that's extended in His gift
of Jesus. But what does it mean practically for you and I? Let's have a look at Jeremiah 31:3.
The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness.
Now, somehow, we've got a different translation, which is fine. That's my fault. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It's an interesting fact. Corey will probably know this because he loves to look into the original language, that the word for dwelling place is actually the word den. We don't know anything of dens in Africa. But you have bears' dens here. And we've been a couple of places and Murray's kind of said, oh, there's a bear's den over there. And we run this way. A dwelling place, a den, a place of safety. That nest that has such fond memories and speaks so much of warmth and tenderness and love and safety. God our Father is that. And let's see with Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. Now, these were Moses' last words, just before he died. So in a sense, it's like his blessing. God is our refuge. God is our dwelling place. Now, in some senses, we can say that's the nest. It's where we feel safe. But then he says, underneath are the everlasting arms. I was going to ask Murray and Terrell to come and do this, but I didn't, so I'm not going to. But
Come on, just Murray.
No.
A fireman's lift is a most effective way of carrying somebody. And all it is its arms underneath someone. You are not holding them anywhere else. And I don't know, Murray will correct me, but you can carry 200 kgs. Yeah, there we go. But it's underneath that the support is. I think if I'm honest, most of us prefer to have something that is like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, an embrace, a hug. Some men go. But God is saying, my arms are underneath you. The illustration is given of a lady who was going through a lot of trauma. And she had two choices, as she understood it. One was to take her life and just end it. The other was to give in and say, God, I'm going to trust you. And she said to the pastor who she was having a conversation with, I'm on the edge of a precipice. If I step back, it's certain death in my situation. But I'm too scared to step forward because I don't know what's coming. And the pastor said, underneath are the everlasting arms. Two things. They're everlasting. They never get tired.
Fireman's lift can only be for so many meters. God's arms are everlasting. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstances, they're always going to be there. This lady said, I went home and I fell forward. And I found life in the arms of God. For us, we need to remember our Heavenly Father's everlasting arms are there. And men in particular, we find it difficult to surrender, don't we? Or am I alone? I don't like waving a white flag. I will fight to the end. But we need sometimes to just fall into those arms of God and say, you carry me. I'm at the end of myself. And just like that lady, we will fall into those arms. In Psalm 145, verse 18, we read, and I'm going to read what's there to make sure that I've got what's here. Thanks, Sharman. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. We know that. But do we really live by that? We don't have to go to a particular place. We don't have to be in a particular frame of mind for God to be near. He is near. And when we call upon Him in truth, I take that to be simply, I'm acknowledging the fact that He knows that I need Him. Because as we sang, He knows our every thought. He knows everything about us. So how can I come to Him thinking He doesn't? But I do need to call on Him. And young dad, you're going to be amazed at how that sound of your baby is going to be in your ear in a crowd. You will hear your child above all the others. And it just does something to you in your heart. You're the father, and that child's cry, it's no words. That's what it does. Sorry for those of you that are online. My hands are here. Some of us woke up. That's what God is wanting us to realize. He is near. And I love this sentiment with John Ortberg speaking about his grandmother. She had six children, and she was often asked, which child do you love the most? And I'm sure moms, you've probably been asked that, and grandmas, you've been asked that. The reply that Kathy gives when the grandchildren say, who do you love the most? She says, the one who's standing in front of me at the moment. But this is what John Ortberg said about his grandmother when being asked which child she loved the most. The love of your children doesn't work like we think it works. It's as if when each child is born, another room gets added to your heart. No one else occupies that room. It's not a bigger room, and it's not better than any other room. It's just theirs. And our Heavenly Father has said, in my Father's house are many rooms. One of them was added when you and I said yes to Jesus. That room is ours. No one else can occupy it
It's secret to us and God. It's our private chapel. And I just love that when we think of the nearness of God and we think of the Father heart of God. And Jesus knew it too by saying what he said. We can skip a few of the next readings, Shaman, so don't worry. But if you could bring up John 10, please. Jesus speaking about being the good shepherd in John 10, 28 and 29. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one shall snatch them out of my Father's hand. How blessed we are that that's the gift God has given to us, saints. Eternal life. Some of us as fathers go, I'm looking forward to the day when everybody moves out and I get my life back. And God says, hey, I want to live with you forever. Hey, isn't that amazing? After all we've done and haven't done, and all we've said and haven't said, he says, you're coming. You're coming. This has just come to me. For some of you who are possibly praying for children who don't yet know Jesus or for grandchildren who don't yet know Jesus, I'm having a Corey moment. The chap who started... Dobson, thank you. Not that you did anything, but just thinking of you made me realize it'll come. Dobson said of his father said these words to him as he began his own family. He just said to his son, he said, these are the words I'm going to leave with you. Just be there. Isn't that the greatest joy we could have as parents? Is that our children are there. Knowing the truth of the everlasting arms. Knowing the blessing of this eternal life. And that no one can snatch us out of his hand. Just be there. Because if you're there, you're there. If I ain't there now, I'm not there then. That's our prayer for our children, isn't it? And that's the challenge to those of us who have children. Just be there. Maybe share those words with them today on Father's Day. And say, here's my Father's Day wish, prayer, and hope. I want you to be there. No greater joy. No greater fulfillment. And I love also what Jesus says. My Father is greater than all. So where do we go from here? We go to this page. In that reading from Deuteronomy, there's a lovely... addition to what we read from Jeremiah, where it speaks of, I will drive out the enemy before you, and I will say, destroy them. And I'm going to be a little bit bold perhaps here, and that's something I need to do more of, is be more bold, be more courageous. But to say, fellowship here, Manning Family Fellowship, Worship Center. The likeness that God is desiring to see manifested in you is exactly the likeness of Jesus Christ. What Manning needs is Christ in you. That they don't need anything, anyone else. They just need to see Christ in you. And the best way that that's going to happen is
is you and I on a daily basis do what the Spirit of God tells us to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only hear and speak what I hear my Father speak. Wouldn't it be wonderful if at the end of every day you and I could just go to bed and say, well, Jesus, today I did just what you did. And wouldn't that be peace? Wouldn't that be fulfillment? Wouldn't that be joy? Knowing that we haven't lived a moment outside of God's grace and empowering and enabling and love. John 3:8 is, I sense, important for you guys. The one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's the reason we celebrate Christmas. He appeared to destroy the works of the devil. And he's done it in our lives, as we read from Deuteronomy. God, like he did for Israel, has driven out the enemy from within us. That's what Corey's been reminding us of through Hebrews. It's done. The way is clear. We boldly approach that throne of grace. What he's left us to do as a postscript, not as in any way to earn our salvation or to be worthy of it, are the good deeds that he's predestined for us to do. And those good deeds are simply destroying the works of the enemy. And how do we destroy the works of the enemy? We simply do what our Father is doing. And how do we do that? We remain in that close relationship with him, acknowledging his nearness, acknowledging his everlasting arms are underneath us. They support us. And that grace, that charis, that free gift, that is what enables us. It gives us strength for every day. It gives us the grace that we need in each moment of the day. And it gives us power to actually do what God is asking of us. It's not up to your leaders, folk. I'm the church. You're the church. We're the church together. And if we say something about the church, I'm speaking about myself. It's us. And together, we will destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It was in the early 80s that God gave me a definition of faith that has stuck with me. A transforming relationship that has proved genuine by testing. A transforming relationship that has proved genuine by testing. Transformation, relationship, a genuine article, and testing. That's what faith is. It's a good recipe of all of that. But that is what overcomes. And that, I believe, is what God is asking us to exercise and to be reminded of this Father's Day. In a light-hearted way, but in, I think, a very sober way, Corey last week made himself vulnerable with his collar all up and saying he had to go and do this and the truck wasn't working and there were glitches with his tablet, and It's easy to be a hero for God. It's difficult to be a normal, respectful, courteous, pleasant human being. Amen? God wants the latter. He wants us to stand firm in the every moment. And for people to say, what's happened? Why are you like that? Everybody else is full of the nonsense of the politics and the world. But somehow you're different. It's because you know underneath are the everlasting arms. It's because you know that He has won the battle for you. And He's saying, just go out there and be the fragrance of life. People will see it. But we need to fall into those arms. We need to trust those arms. We need to call on Him and enjoy being His children. So Manning, church, go out today in the strength of that grace. Enjoy being the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And to Him be all the glory, particularly because He is greater than all. Go knowing underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Bless you. Thank you. Have a wonderful Father's Day. And go destroy the works of the enemy. Amen. Thank you, Corey.
Happy Father's Day. Go and be there. Fathers, be there with your kids. Kids, be there with your fathers. And if you can't, dwell in the memories. Dwell in the thoughts. Amen? God bless you. Take heart to these words. Meditate on them. And let it change your life.